Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
7:13 on this Tuesday morning, September 17th, Sunday, the first official day of autumn or fall, the autumnal equinox. That's right, yes. Highs of 88 to 90 till then. And then beyond then, really, with a chance for afternoon showers, maybe a little lower humidity by the weekend. But the good news is tropics are quiet, and after Francine, we'll take it. Speaking of Francine, Kristen Healy joins us, an associate professor of entomology at LSU, to talk about mosquitoes and the aftermath with standing water, et cetera. How are you doing, Dr. Healy?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
How does a young lady get into the, because I presume you didn't turn into this as a grown-up, but how does a young person get into entomology? What made you decide to study that? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I actually started off my career as kind of like a pre-med major in college, mm-hmm. and I took this elective for entomology, and I really liked it, especially with the aspect of medical entomology, so mosquitoes and ticks. It kind of was a great way to protect public health, and I really liked the environment, so it was kind of like the best of both worlds for me.
I remember being at a pumpkin patch thing with my kid, like way back in the first grade, and there was a little spider crawling across the blanket, and they were marveling at the spider, and one of the dads saw it, oh, I'll take care of this, and put his size 12 boot right on top of it, and the kids were horrified. I guess you have a different view toward insects than do most people, right? I mean, you realize what a role they play in the entire thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think as a kid, I was probably grossed out, just like a lot of kids are by insects. But, you know, as you learn about them, they are fascinating. They serve so many important roles in the environment. And, yeah, they're just so diverse and fascinating.
So let's talk about after Katrina, God forbid, after Francine, because I was out cutting grass, Kristen, on Sunday trying to do some cleanup, and I had them buzzing all over the place, and usually they're not that bad. Have things changed substantially with the passing of the storm and all of the rainfall that we got?
Yeah. You know, this has been a pretty decent year overall for mosquitoes. So, you know, they've been out, and but yeah, when you get hurricanes coming through, you get a lot of flooding. You get a lot of areas that have kind of been just laying dormant. And, you know, once you get those areas where you get floods, flooding areas where those mosquito eggs have just kind of been waiting, then you get them hatching, and then you get these kind of larger emergences of mosquitoes coming out.
See, that's interesting what you said, because I didn't realize that the eggs lay dormant until what? Water rejuvenates them or something? Like freeze-dried almost?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you have two different kinds of mosquitoes. So you do have those kind of consistent mosquitoes that are always there, like in those little, you know, water areas that are always flooded. But then some of the issues are with those mosquitoes that, you know, it's like a freeze-dried egg. And it's out in the environment. It's areas that will eventually become flooded. And so when you get those areas that are flooded all at one time, then, like, usually the rule of thumb, like, with this temperature is about 7 days. So 7 days after a storm, you'll get a large number of eggs all hatching at the same time and those mosquitoes coming off. So, or the mosquitoes coming off from those eggs hatching 7 days later. So, yeah, you'll start to see probably, like, towards the end of this week, a larger number of mosquitoes flying around in those areas that were flooded from the storms.
How hard is it to get on top of that from a mosquito pest control standpoint?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Thankfully, like, at least in a lot of the areas where you do have kind of high risk from those storms, you have active mosquito control programs, you know, and they're kind of out there, you know, doing surveillance. Surveillance is kind of this tool that most mosquito control programs use, where they go out and they assess the mosquitoes every day. They're looking in the water sources, seeing if mosquitoes hatched, trying to get them at the source before they become flying mosquitoes. But yeah, there's a lot of management that goes into kind of reducing those numbers of mosquitoes so they aren't huge public health risks.
What should people that have houses or property or even, I guess, apartments with balconies and so forth, what should they be doing right now after Francine to make sure that they don't increase the mosquito population?
Yeah, well, that's a great question. You know, two, you want to kind of block them, and two, you want to treat them. Mm-hmm. So one, blocking them, repellent, wearing EPA registered repellents. So if you're going to go outside when mosquitoes are active, kind of just protecting yourself from those bites. It is September, so generally August, September is in general the time when we have the greatest risk of West Nile virus in general. So kind of this time of year, you always want to protect yourself from mosquitoes. And then in terms of treating, if you have water sources in your backyard, like standing water containers, that's an easy thing to just kind of check your yard weekly, make sure you don't have like containers that are holding water. Anything that holds water for 7 days or more can produce mosquitoes. So just kind of emptying those sources. There's products you could buy to treat them. Sometimes people looking for natural alternatives can put mosquito fish in some larger habitats. You know, so there's a lot of things that people can do.
Mosquito what?
Yeah. Mosquito fish. Sorry. It's not a flying mosquito. So it's a fish that is native to this area, native to the Gulf areas, and it likes to eat mosquito larvae. So those immature mosquitoes that live in water. Sometimes, like if you have an abandoned swimming pool, for example, you have mosquito larvae in there, the little baby mosquitoes. You can put these types of fish in there, and they specifically just love to eat those immature mosquitoes.
Man, I learned some stuff in this job. I'm going to tell you what. And as you said that, I looked him up. It looks like a little minnow almost, huh?
Yeah, a minnow. And there's some different species of fish, but yeah. And a lot of active mosquito
control. Not a minnow, a molly. I guess is what I was thinking.
Yep.
Is that what it is?
Yep. Yeah, well, the scientific name is Gambusia. It's kind of, but there's multiple species of fish that eat mosquito larvae. So they're little. They're like a little minnow, goldfish size.
Gambusia?
Gambusia.
Sounds like something you get at a restaurant. All right, we'll take a break, pick it up with Kristen Healy. When we come back, we're talking mosquitoes. You got any questions or comments, 504-260-1870. You would think the Asian tiger mosquito would be something good as it relates to LSU, but it's really not. We'll drill down on that and talk about just ways to protect yourself, your family, and to get rid of this mosquito threat after the storm. We're talking to Kristen Healy, Associate Professor of Entomology at LSU. Questions, comments, open our jeweler talk and text line, open as always at 504-260-1870. Time for traffic now on WWL.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
726, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Kristen Healy, Associate Professor of Entomology at LSU. And Kristen, let's talk about this Asian tiger mosquito, since we got the tiger theme going in the background there. What is that, and how big of a risk are those?
Yeah, Asian tiger mosquito. It's one of the mosquitoes I've studied in my research. So it's a mosquito that likes to lay its eggs in containers. So anything that will eventually become flooded, so things like tires or bird baths or buckets or anything you have laying around in your backyard. It loves people. So it's one of those mosquitoes that has a very tight association with humans. So it'll lay eggs in people's backyards. And then as an adult, when it comes out and emerges, it likes to bite like people or pets, dogs, cats, or any kind of animals in your surrounding area. It's very aggressive. It likes to bite during the day. So it makes it really hard, because a lot of times when we tell people to protect themselves from mosquitoes, we say limit activity at night and dusk at dawn when mosquitoes are most active. But Asian tiger mosquito is kind of one of those that will always bite you if you're out in the backyard, even if it's daytime, and kind of likes to bite you by the ankles. In terms of public health risk, it also has the potential.
The
in
ankles?
Terms of public health, yeah, like near
really?
The ankles. Yeah, yeah.
Because it's close to the ground?
Yeah, it's actually, I consider it kind of more like one of those mosquitoes that like sits and waits to bite you. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like out there in the environment. And then when it sees you, like it might be like resting in some of the low-lying vegetation and plants and things in your backyard.
And before you know it, like a sizzling steak on a platter, your ankle shows up, right?
Yes, absolutely. So you're walking by, and then these mosquitoes, they sense you, you know, and they're going to be attracted to areas that, like, you know, where there's a lot of odor and heat. And so, yeah, that's generally one of the key indicators that you're dealing with Asian tiger mosquito, is that it's the daytime, it's small, it's black and white, and it kind of likes to bite you kind of low on the body, like near the ankles.
Are certain mosquitoes more attracted to people, or are mosquitoes attracted to certain people, if that makes any sense to you?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. So in Louisiana, we probably have like over 65 different species of mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. So most people, when you think mosquito, you think, oh, there's just one. But it's not just one type. We have a lot. And some mosquitoes like to bite people. Some don't. For my PhD, I actually studied a mosquito that only feeds on frogs, right? Some feed on alligators.
Must be a
some
big mosquito.
Feed on birds. Yeah.
Oh, it doesn't eat the entire frog. I get you. Okay.
No, certainly not. We actually have a mosquito that will take kind of blood meals, will steal food from like leeches. So it's very, very interesting, the biology of mosquitoes. And so those that do bite humans, you know, there is truth behind the fact that not all people are equally as attractive to mosquitoes as others. You know, some, you know, they're attracted to body odors, they're attracted to heat. And so all those different compounds that make you might make you more or less attractive to mosquitoes.
This is a very interesting conversation, Dr. Healy. I hope you come back and enlighten us some more about the common mosquito, common yet dangerous mosquito.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Thank you. Have a great day. Dr. Kristen Healy, Associate Professor of Entomology at LSU and DEET. You always want to have something with DEET, I think, when you put it on. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk about immunization in Children's Hospital and the Children's Hospital New Orleans immunization bus hitting the road again for the 27th straight year. We'll talk about it when we come back on WWL. 7:45, quarter till 8. Tommy Tucker, WWL, Tuesday morning, September 17th. Counting down to the first day of fall, which is going to happen on Sunday with the autumnal equinox, which means Monday morning you can look forward to autumn in New Orleans. It's a tradition we have to do, and if you've not heard it, it's something that'll make you want to get vaccinated. Patricia, help me out. Patricia, I'm sorry, they didn't give me the pronunciation of your name.
That's okay. Patricia Hewen, good morning.
Patricia Hewen, manager of Greater New Orleans Immunization Network at Children's Hospital, joins us now. Talk about the immunization bus and all the great things that are going on over at Children's Hospital. How you been, and how's everything at Children's Hospital?
Everything's going really well, very well. We're just trying to keep kids healthy.
Tell me about the immunization bus. It's been going on for quite some time, huh, this program?
Yes, yes. So this program started in 1998. So we are 26 years old. We are the longest standing community program at Children's Hospital. So it's been a very good resource for families in vulnerable and underserved communities.
Tell me how it all works.
So we have our mobile unit that goes out 4 days a week, typically, and we do 2 Saturdays a month where we go 11 different locations around the metro area, and it's first come, first serve basis. So a lot of times we're seeing 50 to 70 families, patients, every time we go out, and we operate from 2 to 6.
So the bus goes where from 2 to 6? I'm trying to get a handle on this.
Okay, so we have 11 different locations, so the bus could go. So, for instance, today we are at the Algiers Regional Library. Yesterday we went to the Hispanic Resource Center in Kenner. Tomorrow we will be at New Orleans East Hospital, and then the following day we'll be at Walmart, on La Palco. We also visit location in Slidell at Rouse's. We have two more locations in Kenner, Walgreens on West Esplanade, and also the Kenner Hispanic Apostolate. We go to Gentilly. Mm-hmm. So we go all over.
Will there be lollipops? Because I can only imagine that. Remember they used to have these big strings of suckers that they would sell at the store with encased in plastic or whatever it was, cellophane. Do y'all have any of those? Do you hand out little suckers after the shots? Or no?
We do have little suckers or a little basket of candy, mm-hmm, or stickers.
Do you get to take your choice?
You do. You do. We let them pick. Of course, we ask the guardian first, but yep, we let them pick.
Tell me about how important it is that these vaccinations be done and what type of immunizations are provided.
Extremely important. So the best way to protect children from, we have 15 different vaccines, right? So there are so many vaccine-preventable diseases. So you want to make sure that your kids are being protected from all of these diseases. We have protection against hepatitis A, hepatitis B, polio, diphtheria, tetanus, acellular pertussis, COVID, flu, varicella, measles, mumps, rubella. We have HPV, RSV, pneumococcal, rotavirus. I could keep on going. Meningitis. We have a lot of vaccines to protect these children from these diseases that definitely can be preventable.
What kind of documentation do parents need if they're going to show up at this bus, and how do you know who got what when and that you're not overdoing or underdoing?
Great question. So when they come to the bus, typically if they are already in the Louisiana database, which is LINCS, then we can pull it up from there. So we don't need any identification or anything as far as what they've had previously because it's all there. Now, if it is a record from another state or another country, then it is a little more involved. We typically ask for some kind of identification, whether it's a driver's license, a passport, their previous shot record, if they have one, and their birth certificate, and we have a way that they can actually send us that because it's very time consuming. So they can actually send us that prior to coming to the bus. That way we can have that completed, and that can be submitted on the Children's Hospital website.
And you are the nurse manager, correct, of the Greater New Orleans Immunization Network at Children's Hospital New Orleans?
That's correct.
Okay, just to make sure I got your title right. Let me take a break. We come back. I want to talk about vaccinations in general and the importance of keeping up with them and so forth. I got to ask you, though, where'd you go to school?
Bell Chase High School.
I knew you were a local gal. That's why I asked. And it's good to know you're a Cardinal. I live in Belchase. All right, so we're talking All right, Patricia Hewen, manager of Greater New Orleans Immunization Network and Children's Hospital, about the immunization bus. And we'll find out when we come back where you can go to get ahead of where the bus is going to be and take advantage of free immunizations for your kids. 751, 9 till 8, traffic now, WWL. 7:57, 3 till 8, quickly back to Patricia Hewen, manager, nurse manager of Greater New Orleans Immunization Network and Children's Hospital. Talking about the Children's Hospital immunization bus, been rolling since 1998. When it comes, Patricia, to finding out where the bus is going to be, is there a website that people can go to?
There is. So we have our calendar posted on the Children's Hospital website. There's the community area where it says Immunization Network, and we have our calendar posted there along with some frequently asked questions, information about vaccines, so it's very easy to access.
And that's chinola.org?
Correct. And they can actually put chinola.org/immunization, and it should pull us up.
All right, let's talk about the importance of vaccination. Sometimes people think maybe only when they're babies or the time to go back to school. There's been a lot of misinformation out there. Talk about, if you will, generally speaking, please, nurse, the importance of vaccinations and staying up to date on them.
Yes. So it's a common misconception that children only need vaccines when they're babies and they're done. So a lot of times we'll have parents come to us without being aware that their child might need several vaccines because they're not up to date, and schools are being very stringent on having children up to date because that is the best way to protect the children and everyone within, you know, their surroundings. So it is very important. We really strive to get as many people or as many children vaccinated as possible. I did want to mention that through our program, there is an age limit.
7:45, quarter till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Tuesday morning, September 17th. Counting down to the first day of fall, which is going to happen on Sunday with the autumnal equinox, which means Monday morning you can look forward to autumn in New Orleans. It's a tradition we have to do, and if you've not heard it, it's something that'll make you want to get vaccinated. Patricia, help me out. Patricia, I'm sorry, they didn't give me the pronunciation of your name.
That's okay. Patricia Hewen, good morning.
Patricia Hewen, manager of Greater New Orleans Immunization Network at Children's Hospital, joins us now. Talk about the immunization bus and all the great things that are going on over at Children's Hospital. How you been, and how's everything at Children's Hospital?
Everything's going really well, very well. We're just trying to keep kids healthy.
Tell me about the immunization bus. It's been going on for quite some time, huh, this program?
Yes. So this program started in 1998. So we are 26 years old. We are the longest standing community program at Children's Hospital. So it's been a very good resource for families in vulnerable and underserved communities.
Tell me how it all works.
So we have our mobile unit that goes out 4 days a week, typically, and we do two Saturdays a month where we go 11 different locations around the metro area, and it's first-come, first-served basis, so a lot of times we're seeing 50 to 70 families, patients, every time we go out, and we operate from 2 to 6.
So the bus goes where from 2 to 6? I'm trying to get a handle on this.
Okay, so we have 11 different locations, so the bus could go. So, for instance, today we are at the Algiers Regional Library. Yesterday we went to the Hispanic Resource Center in Kenner. Tomorrow we will be at New Orleans East Hospital, and then the following day we'll be at Walmart, on Lopalco. We also visit location in Slidell at Rouse's. We have two more locations in Kenner, Walgreens on West Esplanade, and also the Kenner Hispanic Apostolate. We go to Gentilly. Mm-hmm. So we go all over.
Will there be lollipops? Because I can only imagine that remember they used to have these big strings of of suckers that they would sell at the store with encased in plastic or whatever it was, cellophane. Do y'all have any of those? Do you hand out little suckers after the shots? Or not?
We do have little suckers or a little basket of candy or stickers.
Do you get to take your choice?
You do. You do. We let them pick. Of course, we ask Mom, you know, the guardian first, but yep, we let them pick.
Tell me about how important it is that these vaccinations be done and what type of immunizations are provided.
Extremely important. So the best way to protect children from, I mean, these, we have 15 different vaccines, right? So there are so many vaccine-preventable diseases. So you want to make sure that your kids are being protected from all of these diseases. I mean, we have protection against hepatitis A, hepatitis B, polio, diphtheria, tetanus, acellular pertussis, COVID, flu, varicella, measles, mumps, rubella. We have HPV, RSV, pneumococcal, rotavirus. I mean, we have, I could keep on going, meningitis. You know, we have a lot of vaccines to protect these children from these diseases that definitely can be preventable.
What kind of documentation do parents need if they're going to show up at this bus? And how do you know who got what when and that you're not overdoing or underdoing?
Great question. So when they come to the bus, typically if they are already in the Louisiana database, which is links, then we can pull it up from there. So we don't need any identification or anything as far as what they've had previously because it's all there. Now, if it is a record from another state or another country, then it is a little more involved. We typically ask for some kind of identification, whether it's a driver's license, a passport, their previous shot record, if they have one, and their birth certificate, and we have a way that they can actually send us that because it's very time consuming. So they can actually send us that prior to coming to the bus. That way we can have that completed and that can be submitted on the Children's Hospital website.
And you are the nurse manager, correct, of the Greater New Orleans Immunization Network at Children's Hospital New Orleans?
That's correct.
Okay, just to make sure I got your title right. Let me take a break. We come back. I want to talk about vaccinations in general and the importance of keeping up with them and so forth. I got to ask you, though, where'd you go to school?
Bell Chase High School?
I knew you were a local gal. That's why I asked. And it's good to know you're a Cardinal. I live in Bell Chase. All right, so we're talking All right, Patricia Hewen, manager of Greater New Orleans Immunization Network and Children's Hospital, about the immunization bus. And we'll find out when we come back where you can go to get ahead of where the bus is going to be and take advantage of free immunizations for your kids. 751, 9 till 8, traffic now, WWL. 7:57, 3 till 8, quickly back to Patricia Hewen, nurse manager of Greater New Orleans Immunization Network and Children's Hospital. Talking about the Children's Hospital immunization bus, been rolling since 1998. When it comes, Patricia, to finding out where the bus is going to be, is there a website that people can go to?
There is. So we have our calendar posted on the Children's Hospital website. There's the community area where it says Immunization Network, and we have our calendar posted there along with some frequently asked questions, information about vaccines, so it's very easy to access.
And that's chinola.org?
Correct. And they can actually put chinola.org/immunization, and it should pull us up.
All right, let's talk about the importance of vaccination. Sometimes people think maybe only when they're babies or the time to go back to school. There's been a lot of misinformation out there. Talk about, if you will, generally speaking, please, nurse, the importance of vaccinations and staying up to date on them.
Yes. So it's a common misconception that children only need vaccines when they're babies and they're done. So a lot of times we'll have parents come to us without being aware that their child might need several vaccines because they're not up to date, and schools are being very stringent on having children up to date because that is the best way to protect the children and everyone within, you know, their surroundings. So it is very important. We really strive to get as many people or as many children vaccinated as possible. I did want to mention that through our program, there is an age limit, I guess you would say, 6 weeks to 18 years old, and it is for individuals without medical coverage or with Medicaid or an insurance that doesn't cover vaccines.
So you determine all of that, I guess, when they come out, or you don't want them to go out if they have insurance, or if they do have insurance, then the insurance applies. I'm just trying to work through all that.
So typically when they come out, they'll fill out an intake form and they'll let us know. We also have that information on our website, but we are a program that we receive our vaccines from the Office of Public Health. So it's called VFC, which is Vaccines for Children. So those are free vaccines that we receive from the Office of Public Health, and so we make sure that individuals that don't have coverage can have protection and receive all of their vaccines.
Got it. Thank you. Very informative. I appreciate your time and your efforts. You can go to chinola.org to find out more. Back in a flash, WWL. 7:57, 3 till 8. Quickly back to Patricia Hewen, nurse manager of Greater New Orleans Immunization Network at Children's Hospital. Talking about the Children's Hospital immunization bus been rolling since 1998. When it comes, Patricia, to finding out where the bus is going to be, is there a website that people can go to?
There is. So we have our calendar posted on the Children's Hospital website. There's the community area where it says Immunization Network, and we have our calendar posted there along with some frequently asked questions, information about vaccines, so it's very easy to access.
And that's chinola.org?
Correct. And they can actually put chinola.org/immunization, and it should pull us up.
All right, let's talk about the importance of vaccination. Sometimes people think maybe only when they're babies or the time to go back to school. There's been a lot of misinformation out there. Talk about, if you will, generally speaking, please, nurse, the importance of vaccinations and staying up to date on them.
Yes. So it's a common misconception that children only need vaccines when they're babies and they're done. So a lot of times we'll have parents come to us without being aware that their child might need several vaccines because they're not up to date. And schools are being very stringent on having children up to date because that is the best way to protect the children and everyone within, you know, their surroundings. So it is very important. We really strive to get as many people or as many children vaccinated as possible. I did want to mention that through our program, there is an age limit, I guess you would say, 6 weeks to 18 years old, and it is for individuals without medical coverage or with Medicaid or an insurance that doesn't cover vaccines.
So you determine all of that, I guess, when they come out, or you don't want them to go out if they have insurance, or if they do have insurance, then the insurance applies. I'm just trying to work through all that.
So typically when they come out, they'll fill out an intake form and they'll let us know. We also have that information on our website, but we are a program that we receive our vaccines from the Office of Public Health. So it's called VFC, which is Vaccines for Children. So those are free vaccines that we receive from the Office of Public Health, and so we make sure that individuals that don't have coverage can have protection and receive all of their vaccines.
Got it. Thank you. Very informative. I appreciate your time and your efforts. You can go to chinola.org to find out more. Back in a flash, WWL.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.